From WVUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Bandleader and musician Juan de Marcos Gonzalez brought back to the world an almost lost age of great old Cuban music and made it fabulously new again with the Buena Vista Social Club with the old and new sound of the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. This hour, On Point Cuban musical great Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, you can join the conversation. Do you remember when old school Cuban music came roaring back so beautifully? What's your word, your question for the man who helped it rise again? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, and you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. The wonderful Latin music maven Jose Maso will be with us a little later in this hour, a treat for us. But first, the man himself, Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, joins us from New York, band leader, musician. He's played a huge role in the re-emergence of global interest in Cuban music in recent decades. The man behind the Buena Vista Social Club, featured in the acclaimed album and documentary film that brought so many great musicians back and their sounds. He's currently leading the Afro-Cuban All-Stars on a big U.S. tour. They're performing at the Blue Note in New York this week. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, welcome to On Point. Thank you very much for being with us today.
And thanks to you for giving me a chance to talk to your audience. And for me, it's a pleasure.
Oh, it's
wonderful. I love this city.
I bet you have seen a lot of the U.S. in the last month or so. Anchorage and Seattle and San Francisco and Santa Maria, El Paso, Texas, Brunswick, Maine, now New York. And you've got a lot more to go. You've been all over the place.
Yeah, we have been playing really successfully all over America. And we are really happy because of the response of the audience. And we still have some more gigs coming up. We are performing this week at the Blue Note here in New York, which is a great place.
Yes.
And after New York, we are going to State College in Pennsylvania, then Louisville, Kentucky, then Pittsburgh, the August Wilson Center
right.
in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. then the Grand Opera House in Wilmington, and then the Duke Performance at the Page Auditorium in Durham, and then the last concert is going to be in Washington, D.C.
It's quite a tour.
At the Howard Theater.
Right, it's quite a tour. It's just terrific. Tell us about the response you're getting from American audiences. I mean, we know how people just stood up and cheered when the Buena Vista Social Club began to bring this sound back to a bigger audience in the 90s. Here we are some years later. Oh, what's the response in the hall when the Afro-Cuban All-Stars fire it up?
The response is great. Always that we play here in America, we have got a great response. There's a communication and there's a bonding between the band and the audience. You know, our goal is that the people is happier after leaving the cancer than before. And we are reaching our goals and we are happy. Really, we have been performing mostly sold-out concerts. And everything is going really great. I suppose that the end of the tour is going to be great as well. And after this tour, we are going to Europe, where we have about 10 more concerts.
We've got a little sound of Afro-Cuban All-Stars. This is touring or a live concert in 2011. Let's hear a little bit. This is off the 2011 album, Absolutely Live. This was recorded at The Hague in the Netherlands. Yo soy el del sentimiento. Afro-Cuban All-Stars 2011 album, Absolutely Live, right there. Yo soy el del sentimiento. I am of the feeling. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez is with us, band leader. It's so great to have you. Tell us about the range of music that you bring to the hall when the All-Stars set up to play. It's as though you bring us a great big swath of Cuban music. What's the range of kinds of music that you perform?
Well, normally we play from the very traditional Cuban music, the old styles, mm-hmm. such as mambo, danzón, or bolero, up to the contemporary Cuban music, the what we call la timba, which is a very aggressive style. Normally at the end of the concerts are a tiny bit more danceable. Mm-hmm. Normally in our concerts, we start, let's say, in a quiet style, performing Afro-Cuban jazz. Mm-hmm. Then we are going like a journey through Cuba through different styles. Normally we play about 10 or 12 different styles of Cuban music, so that people can know that the Cuban music didn't stop in 1961.
Right, right.
When we're broken the relationships with America. It kept developing.
Why do you call it the Afro-Cuban All-Stars as opposed to just the Cuban All-Stars? I mean, so many Cubans have African ancestry of one kind or another, but you call it the Afro-Cuban. Why?
Well, in 1996, we recorded a set of albums, now known as the Buena Vista Social Club Sessions. And then we had the plan to record a couple of albums. The first one should be a big band album using the punchy sound of the music of the 50s. Mm. And the second one should be a more, let's say, a traditional album using the music of the 20s and 30s. And then the first album was the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, first album, A Toda Cuba Le Gusta, and the second one, the Buena Vista Social Club. But we need a name in order to create a band, in order to perform the music, because the only way to sell world music is to go to streets. You have to go to streets, perform, and then sell the albums. So we created a band called the Afro-Cuban All-Stars as a tribute to Machito. Perhaps you know Machito.
No, tell me. I don't know enough. Tell me.
Well, Machito was a Cuban band leader who came to America during the 30s and 40s and was the first one introducing the elements of the Cuban music in the jazz, in the American jazz. Mm-hmm. He performed with Cat Jader, with a lot of great American jazz players. And he called his band Machito. Machito is a nickname. And he's Afro-Cuban, so yeah. We wanted to make a tribute to Machito, who was the first one performing this kind of mix here in America and worldwide. So that's why we call the band the Afro-Cuban All-Stars.
Perfect.
But besides, we Cubans, we are all Afro-Cubans, you know.
Right.
The spirit of Africa is alive in our country.
I don't have Machito, but I definitely have the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. This goes back to just after the Buena Vista Social Club time, or right around the 1997 A Toda Cuba Le Gusta, the All-Stars.
Me dice de un danzón, de una rumpita caliente, un guate que hay en Oriente, de esa caliente región, allá va mi inspiración.
A Toda Cuba Le Gusta, 1997, All Cuba Likes It, the name of that track. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez is with us, the band leader. You know, we recognize Cuban music the instant we hear it, but I don't know if I could explain why. What is it that makes it so distinctively and Cuban and immediately recognizably Cuban one?
There's one thing. The accent of the Western music is either on the first or the third beat of the bar. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the Cuban music, is either on the fourth beat of the bar and or the second half of the fourth beat of the bar, which means the last eighth note.
Yeah.
And this is the way the women walk. And perhaps that's why it's so attractive.
Somebody paid a lot of attention.
Oh, yeah. But there's something that you have to know. Well, you were talking about the Afro-Cuban All-Stars and the Buena Vista Social Club. Mm-hmm. The first album that was recorded and the band that you can see in the film, you know, the film brought a lot of confusion in regards to the project, because when Wim Wenders went to Havana in order to film the documentary, he came 1 year later, and he didn't know nothing really about how the project was created. The first band that was created to make possible the sales of this set of recordings was the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, and the first album that was recorded was the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, which was the first album released in Europe. Here in America was released first the Buena Vista Social Club and then the African Stars. A toda Cuba le gusta. But basically it's the same thing. I think that I have, actually I'm running the only band that's really related to what was in the past the Buena Vista Social Club.
Juan de Marcos Gonzalez is with us. He's been called the Quincy Jones of Cuba. He has brought back a tremendous tradition, helped a lot of marvelous, marvelous Cuban musicians come back and perform in their late years and kind of spark a rebirth, rejuvenation, new interest deeply and definitely in this music all over the world. Joins us today from New York City, band leader of the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. They are on big tour in the U.S., right now. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, please stand by there. Listeners, you can join us. Are you crazy for the old school Cuban music from Mambo, Son, Cha-Cha, Guracha, Guajira? Did Juan de Marcos Gonzalez get you plugged in with the Buena Vista Social Club, with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, with Sierra Maestra? What is it about this Cuban music that gets us going, moving, dreaming? We're at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Jose Maso joins us when we return. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, please stand by. I'm Tom Ashbrook. So great to have you with us. This is On Point. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the great Cuban band leader and musician Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, Havana-based leader of the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, the man behind the Buena Vista Social Club, the maestro behind the great global revival of Cuban music. Behind us right here, Adivinador, from the Afro-Cuban All-Stars 2005 album Step Forward. You can join us this hour. When, how did Cuban music get its hooks into you? What's your question for Juan de Marcos Gonzalez? And what is it about this music that gets us going, moving, dreaming? We're at 1-800-423-8255. 800-423-TALK. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez is on tour with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars all over these United States. You may have seen them in Anchorage or Seattle or San Francisco or El Paso, Texas. They're headed on in the next, days and weeks ahead in New York right now at the Blue Note, down to Louisville and Pittsburgh and Durham and wrapping up in Washington, D.C. He joins us today from New York City, where they're performing at the Blue Note. Also with us, and we're so happy to have him here, Jose Maso, longtime host of WBUR, my home station's Con Salsa Latin music show, a great maven and insightful music man in his own right. Jose Maso, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure and honor to be with you.
And please say hello to Juan de Marcos Gonzalez.
Juan de Marcos Gonzalez. Saludos, mi hermano. Mucho ache para ti.
Hola, mi hermano. Qué chévere. Mucho ache y que Dios te bendiga.
Igual, mi hermano. Igual.
Sabroso.
It's an honor to have the two of you with us here today. Jose, jump right in here. What is it about this? When this came back, a lot of people had just lost the sound of it. It had drifted away. The revolution took Cuba out of Americans' reach in many ways. But when it came back, with Juan's work and others, Buena Vista Social Club, Afro-Cuban All-Stars, it just landed with such this warm, wonderful blaze. People loved it again immediately. What is it about this music?
I think you can't help but love this kind of music, Tom. I mean, if you ever have the opportunity to visit Cuba, and you don't have to visit it to enjoy it, because it just is very much, so much the culture of the Cubans. And it's present 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. When you're there, you hear it in the streets, you hear it at parties, you hear it in the neighborhoods. And it's part of our history as Latinos. I'm Puerto Rican, but yet, earlier Juan de Marcos mentioned Frank Machito Grillo and the Afro-Cuban band. Of course, Chano Pozo, Mario Bazar, so instrumental in making this music so popular throughout the United States and the world in the 1950s, 60s. And now the rebirth thanks to Juan de Marcos, through the Afro-Cuban Orsars, and also through the Buena Vista Social Club, is just because this is a music, first and foremost, that is very complex, that is very unique, that is not as easy as one might think to play. And one of the great things about hearing it live, and Juan de Marcos does a great job as not only being a performer, but also an educator on stage, where he brings the audience to understand the clave, to understand what a guaguancó is, to understand what a timba is, to understand just the rhythm behind the songs, and also tribute to some great musicians as he performs it, which we will talk about later. Mm-hmm. But I think all in all, it's just that it's a great representation of people, of how that spirit of life, the spirit of community, and of a history that is so rich in tradition that goes back to the rhythms of Africa coming through the diaspora in Afro-Cuba.
Jose Manso, you bring it. Juan de Marcos, did this music go away in Cuba? We lost track of it, many of us, in the United States for decades. Was it always there being played prominently in Havana, or did it go away there as well?
No, for sure. For sure, it was alive the whole time. The problem were the politicians, you know. They broke the relationships between the countries, and then we were not able to come here to America, which is the main market for the Cuban music. But right now, we're back. You know, in 1994, I came for the first time with my previous band, Sierra Maestra.
Yes.
And we toured nationwide very successfully. And then in 1997, we started touring with the Buena Vista Social Club and the Afro-Cuban Stars and the Rubén González Ensemble. And the response of the audience was unbelievable. So I think that there is a bond between the countries. There is a relationship. There's a close relationship. Jazz is the same as the Afro-Cuban music, but in, let's say, Western terms. And there was a marriage between the jazz and the Afro-Cuban music, thanks to people like Jose was courting people like Mario Bauzá, Chico Farro, Fran Machito Grillo, Mongo Santa Maria, Candido Camero, many of the great Afro-Cuban performers. We have to thank also the people of Puerto Rico, not because Jose is Puerto Rican.
Oh, that's not a bad reason.
No, the fact is that thanks to Puerto Ricans, we had alive our music here in this country. We really appreciate the work that they have done with our music, and the fact that they kept the music alive in this country, especially in this city, New York. And they were great. I remember the recordings of Fanny All Stars and all of these great bands of the past. And for us, was a pleasure to have somebody working on behalf of the Afro-Cuban culture here in this country.
For many people, the first big splash of this great old Cuban music that brought it back to mind was that album 1997 titled Buena Vista Social Club. And hear from that, Chan Chan.
Oh, yeah.
Chan Chan, Buena Vista Social Club, 1997. Juan de Marcos, this, people just swooned for this. I mean, I remember it so well. I was among them. I could not get enough of it. Played it again and again and again. And it brought these wonderful old musicians, Ibrahim Ferrer and Rubén González and others. Where did you find them when you put this band together to perform? Were they performing in little clubs, or where were they?
Well, the most of them were retired. Well, my father used to be a great singer with some of the Cuban top bands of the 30s and 40s.
Yes.
One of these bands was the Arsenio Rodriguez Conjunto, one of the top Cuban bands of the whole times, and led by Arsenio, who was a legendary Afro-Cuban musician.
Arsenio Rodriguez.
And you know what? Every 7th of September, we used to have parties in my house in tribute to La Virgen de Regla, which is a kind of Afro-Cuban goddess.
Okay.
And then every 7th of September, we had the visit of many of these musicians in my house. People like Pio Leyva, not Ibrahim, because Ibrahim is from the eastern part of Ireland.
Yeah.
But people like Pío Leiva, Manuel Licea Puntillita, Raúl Planas.
So you knew they were still out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, what I wanted to do, you know, we recorded an album in 1994 for a small label in London called World Circuit. And the album was successful. We sold about 250,000 copies.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a very good number for world music.
Sure.
And then I had the chance to talk with the owner of the company, Mr. Nick Gould, and explain him my idea to make a tribute to my father using his friends in a recording tributing the music of the 50s. And he was agreed. That's why the idea of the Buenos Aires is a club. Initially, we wanted to make a big band album with the punchy sound of the 50s, as I told you before.
Yeah.
And then we agreed as well to make a, let's say, lighter album using the music of the eastern part of the island. So I knew the most of the guys. I knew Ibrahim, but from his previous band, Los Bocucos. Right. Mm-hmm. But the most of the people that you can see in the film or you can hear in the recordings are the friends of my father. And that's why they were in the album.
That's good.
I looked for them specially because I wanted to tribute my father through his friends.
An honor to your father and to them, and a pleasure for all of us. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, stand by. Jose Maso, so many callers for you. Connie in Aiken, South Carolina. Connie, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Juan. Thank you.
Hola.
I love the music. I have Buena Vista Social Club. Bought it when I first heard about it. Fell in love with it. Reminded me of the young women that I went to school with in the early 60s. That had come here from Cuba, they played music, played the piano, and we just had such a wonderful time together, and it takes me back to that and the era of some of the great old films that would play music from Cuba. It makes me so happy to hear you're honoring the generations in the music. And going back in time.
Connie, it's a great memory. A lot of people were right there with you. Jose Maso, you watched this country swoon for this wonderful work that Juan de Marcos put together. What did you see in that American tumble for the Buena Vista Social Club?
I was I was part of that wave saying, thank you, Juan de Marcos, for making this possible. And I became enamored just as much as they do, even though I was aware of all this music. But more so because I thought it was so important to pay tribute while they were alive to these great musicians and singers.
Because many were up in age.
They were up in age. They were very much up in age. Yeah. And I thought, you know, if there's something about this music is that it has a legacy, that has a tradition, that it has a history that is very important and that has contributed in so many ways to all different sorts of genres. And in particular, I felt it was done with such care because it wasn't just a CD, I believe, that was being done for commercial purposes. But as he said earlier, Juan de Marcos was doing it as a tribute to his father. And so in doing it as a tribute, I could relate to that because I said he is doing what I would do for my father, Rob, in the same position, because you want to let people know how they were part of your life and also
gift,
the role.
What a tribute.
Yes, exactly. Of the culture that they impacted. And the other thing, you know, I would say about Juan de Marcos, and I'm probably going a little bit ahead of myself, is that he made a point of making sure that we understood the historical context of those interpreting the music and those who compose the music. So Israel Cachao López, known as the father of the Mambo, who did Sanchullo, which then gave the opportunity to Juan de Marcos' uncle, Rubén González, to showcase his piano playing, doing that song. Later, you know, he would do something for Nino Rivera, Andrés Echevarria, a great tres guitar player, which is the instrument that Juan de Marcos plays. So he did these things in a very astute way, strategic way of educating us as to what this music was all about.
And it brought so much exposure to these great, this great music and great musicians, including Juan de Marcos, your uncle, Tito, master pianist Rubén González, Jose mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a little track of him here. Then later, playing on his 2000 album, was it Chanchullo, which I think you produced? Here's a bit of that.
No, I didn't.
Juan de Marcos Gonzalez's uncle, Ruben Gonzalez, Chanchullo from 2000. The piano playing is perfect. Maybe my introduction wasn't one. Did you not produce that as well?
No, I made the first Ruben Gonzalez's album. Chanchullo was made after that.
Ah, okay.
And in 2000, we split the bands because we only had one band to defend the three albums and performing worldwide. But in 2000, we had too many offers, and we decided to create a second band for Ruben and Ibrahim Ferrer. So we created what was later called the Buena Vista Social Club Band. And this album was recorded in 2000. I produced the first one in 1996, which is called Introducing Ruben Gonzalez. Uh-huh. But Chanchullo is not in the album.
Oh, good.
Chanchullo is off the second album of Ruben.
Now, the story goes that back in your childhood, you used to hear kind of a bootleg American radio out of Key West and even Arkansas, and listen to rock and roll. Then you were, a self-professed almost punk rocker before you were an old-school Cuban guy. What was your taste in those days, Juan?
When you are young, you try to do what's in fashion, and it was in fashion, the American music in my country. And in spite of the limitations of the Cuban government, they didn't want us to listen to American music. Mm-hmm. The air is the air, and we had the pleasure to receive a couple of stations, one coming from Key West, WQAM, and the second one coming from Little Rock, K-A-A-Y.
Yeah.
And we used to, copy the arrangements of the great rock and roll bands of that time. I'm talking about Grateful Dead, King Crimson, Santana, Procol Harum, Rolling Stones, and all of these bands, and then reproduce the music in our small ensembles. And we had to perform, of course, in private parties because it wasn't possible to spread this kind of music in Cuba because of the limitations, I repeat, of the government in regards to foreign music and especially American, because you were the enemy, of course.
Yes. We recall.
But, yeah, you were the enemy.
Yeah.
And, at a certain point of my life, I realized that the only way that I had to make it was to turn my eyes to the music I grew up with and to the real thing. So in 1976, we created the first Cuban band performing traditional Cuban music. But we used to mix a little bit the Western style. We used to dress like punks. And then performing acoustic music with a tres, a guitar, bongo, septeto lineup. This was Sierra Maestra. And Sierra Maestra was the number one Cuban band for 5 years in a very competitive country as Cuba is. And it was a pleasure that I had the opportunity to create that band. And perhaps because of Sierra Maestra, we had something like the Buena Vista Ordia, Afro-Cuban Stars, and all of these revival of the Cuban music worldwide.
Wow. Jose, Juan is so big. I mean, people may not appreciate just what a big, big, huge figure
he is. He is instrumental in reviving and putting forth a genre that is so important in the history of music worldwide. But also, I think he's instrumental as serving as a cultural agent. He used the word enemy, which now has become a friend, because he's able to use the music as a way of bridging the cultures of the United States and the world with Cuba. And it's something that I applaud.
Jose Maso, we're so glad you're here. The great host of Con Salsa on WBUR and Juan de Marcos Gonzalez in New York City, where his Afro-Cuban All-Stars are performing this week at the Blue Note. They have been all over these United States on tour, headed still into Louisville and Pittsburgh and Wilmington and on Durham, Washington. Listeners, you can join us. What is it about Cuban music that has that magic? 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's the Afro-Cuban All-Stars with Elegia a Ruben Gonzalez, kind of tribute to the uncle of Juan, passed away in 2003. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with the great Cuban band leader and musician Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, Havana-based leader of the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, the man behind the Buena Vista Social Club, the maestro really behind the great global revival of Cuban music, on tour right now in the United States with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, joining us today from New York City. Also with me in the studio, and it's such a treat to have him, José Masó, a great maven of Latin music and host of Con Salsa, the wonderful Latin music show. Listeners, you can join us. Did Juan de Marcos Gonzalez get you plugged into all this with the Buena Vista Social Club, with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, with Sierra Maestra? You can join us, 800-423-8255. What is it about Cuban music that gets us going, dreaming? 800-423-8255. Xiomara joins us from Holden, Massachusetts. Xiomara, you're on the air with Juan de Marcos.
Yeah, hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, Juan de Marcos.
Hola.
Es Xiomara Laugart.
Coño, mi hermana. Te quiero mucho. Yo no sabía. I didn't know you're in Boston, you know. Qué lindo, tú sabes.
Beautiful.
You know what? I love you. You know, there's something that you have to know. I had the pleasure to perform with Xiomara. Xiomara is a great singer. She's one of the most important singers of her generation in Cuba. And I had the pleasure to be with her for about a month and a half in Japan, long time ago, back in the 80s, late 80s, performing nationwide in Japan. A pleasure. Un beso, mi hermanita.
Xiomara, wonderful. I'm so glad you've called. Xiomara, what do you think of Juan de Marcos?
Someone listen to the program, right? Hear him and say, oh, my God.
So how big a deal is he? Tell us, how important is Juan de Marcos for Cuban music?
Oh, he's one of the best, and he's one of the people that all his work is around the world, and everybody know music, Cuban music, and really, really good Cuban music, except to him.
That's beautiful. So what are you thinking as you listen today, Xiomara? What I don't know, what's your question? You haven't maybe chatted too much since Japan. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Oh, we have a lot of fun in Japan.
Oh, God.
It was absolutely gorgeous and fabulous.
Yeah.
We have a lot of fun. And it's a shame I know in New York to see them playing. And the only thing I can tell them is that, you know, Juan de Marcos, God
yeah,
bless you, baby.
Yeah, you know what? We were performing at the Berkeley Concert Hall, but I didn't know that you were there.
This is in Boston, just this last week. Yeah. You know, I'm sorry you two missed.
Boston.
Yeah, your buddy Terry called me and let me know that you were going to be there. But, you know, there's no one here in the top in my head. And we cannot get out of the house. That was the reason.
What a great Cuban reunion right here on Point. That's great. Xiomara, I'm glad you got to call in and say hi to Juan. Thank you so much for gracing us for a couple of minutes here.
Okay, bye.
Bye. One more, ciao, right? Manita. Thank you, Xiomara. Orlando in Aiken, South Carolina. Orlando, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Juan.
Hello.
Hi, Mambro.
I think it's wonderful that the Cuban musicians are allowed to tour the U.S. and bring their music here. But I was just wanting to know what Juan's opinion is about Cuban artists here in the U.S. that are not allowed to go back to Cuba. For example, Celia Cruz was never allowed to go back to Cuba and perform. Willie Chirino, Gloria Estefan, those artists aren't allowed back to Cuba. And I'd like to take my response.
I'm really sorry. I think that this was absolutely stupid. You know, Celia was one of the top Cuban singers of the whole times, and she was a goddess. And the fact that people like Gloria Estefan or Celia when she was alive, or Chirino cannot perform in Cuba, is absolutely stupid. Because I think that arts are above the politics. It doesn't matter how do you think. It doesn't matter your political ideas. What's important is the culture. And the fact that the restrictions imposed by the government are stupid, absolutely stupid. I disagree completely. And
was it the Cuban government, Juan, or the American government?
Yeah, the Cuban government restrict the presence of Cuban artists that live here in America. Uh-huh. They cannot perform in Cuba. But a couple of years ago, a Colombian singer, Juanes, went to Cuba and he performed a huge concert there in Havana. However, people like Gloria Estefan, like Willie Chirino, or Abita Rodriguez, they cannot get back and perform for their people. And this is stupid.
What about now? When you go home, are you going to hear from some, government official saying, Juan, don't call us stupid in America?
Well, I don't mind, my man. I don't mind.
Okay.
I'm above all of these small things.
Well, that's a beautiful place to be.
I go to Cuba normally. I don't live in Cuba, actually. But I had to move to Mexico because of the school of my daughters, the university. But it doesn't matter. I go to Havana every, 3-4 months because this is my, there is my real home.
And what about Cuban musicians? Are they all allowed today to travel abroad to perform? Is that any problem?
They can. Right now, they are free to perform. In general terms, the musicians never have this kind of problem. The problem was the restrictions of the Cuban government in regards to the presence of Cuban-American musicians in the island. And also the restrictions of the American government to the Cuban musicians. That from 2003, for example, to 2009, when you had in the... At the head of the administration, Mr. Bush, it was impossible for Cuban musicians to perform here. Mm. And this is the same bullshit in the other side. I'm sorry for the word.
No. Hey, let's go to Jack in Wallingford, Connecticut. Jack, you're on the air.
Tom, hi, Juan.
Hola, mano.
Tom, I have a concern in that the Cuban music, the Cuban song, has lost its sound. And I think the main reason is because of the salsaization of their music.
The salsaization. Okay. What do you mean by that?
But I mean by that the Cuban music always had a distinct sound, you know, as, you know, when you listen to the tunes by Buena Vista Social Club.
Yes.
But these days I have a problem in distinguishing a Puerto Rican combo from a Santo Domingo combo or from a Cuban combo because the instruments that more prominent in salsa is more the trombones and the piano, whereas in Cuban music, traditional Cuban music, you had the flute, the tres, and the conga, and the, you know. So I find that now the Cuban music is losing that sound. I just want to hear your...
That's your wonderful. You give us a lot to think about. Juan, I'll bring it to you. Jose, first to you. What do you think of Juan?
I disagree. Of course, you can have the same lineup because the Cuban music spread all over the world, and there are many bands in different countries of Latin America performing in, let's say, the Cuban style. Mm. The music moves. And, you know, the original lineup of the septetos, such as Sierra Maestra with the tres, with bongos, developed to a bigger ensemble called conjunto during the 40s. Do you remember the conjunto of Arsenio Rodriguez? Mm-hmm. He introduced first a piano and then a second trumpet and then a third trumpet. So the music developed, but I think that the Cuban music, when you listen to a Cuban band, I think that the sound is different, man.
What do you think, Jose? Is there a merger here? I'm with
Juan de Marcos on this. I think I can quickly distinguish a Cuban band through its sound, be it a traditional band that's playing the song, the guajira, the cha-cha-cha, the mambo, to a modern band playing the timba, be it Isaac Delgado, Manolín en Medio de la Salsa, Lo Bambam, Pupi, Lo Que Son Son, whomever. I can distinguish that from a Juan Luis Guerra or somebody else doing merengue and bachata from the Dominican Republic or a Gran Combo doing their brand of music from Puerto Rico. So I think there are ways to you distinguish it, and the song Nunca Va a Morir, because people know that the song is very much part of the genesis, the base of our music.
Let's put a little sound of it right in our ears. This is from Afro-Cuban All-Stars, 2005 album Step Forward, kind of exploring new territory. Jack, judge for yourself. Esperanza.
Thank you.
Juan de Marcos Gonzalez, tell us what's going on there. I mean, you've got some old rhythm in there, but some very contemporary sound as well. What's happening there?
Well, the sound is contemporary, but this is a contradanza. This is the music of late 19th century in my country. The difference is that I'm using a tres. This is a tres guitar, but with a wah-wah, you know.
So yes, okay.
We have to move the music because we are not living the 19th century. Yeah. So this is the same contradanza that, for example, wrote Saumelo, the great Cuban composers of the late 19th century or beginning of the 20th century, but with a different flavor.
Wow.
But this is absolutely, I've never heard a Colombian band playing contradanza in my life.
Well,
because this is something really Cuban, it's Cosa Nostra. I've heard Puerto Ricans, but Cuba and Puerto Rico is the same country.
Right.
You know what?
Jose's giving you that nearly.
Yeah, there's something, listen. From Camagüey, which is the eastern part of the island, from Camagüey, going to the east, Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, they are the same country. Even the accent is the same one. It's different from the people of Havana, for example.
Yeah,
it's the same country, basically. I've heard Puerto Rican bands playing contradanza, but never a Colombian band or Ecuadorian or Panamanian
It's a beautiful thing to be an artist and just float right over those boundaries. I love it. Kelly in Chesapeake, Virginia. Kelly, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Oh. I actually did my thesis on Buena Vista Social Club at the College of William & Mary. I was a jazz guitarist. I was studying jazz guitar, but I was a major in Hispanic studies, so I wanted to combine my two greatest passions in my thesis. And one thing that I was really struck by was the prevalence of this theme that Cuban jazz is sort of in the blood, right? The strength of the familial ties.
You mean literally family ties, like from father to son or maybe daughter?
Very much so. But just this idea, too, as a student of jazz, you know, wanting desperately to learn this kind of idea that, you know, the best jazz is in Cuba, that it's in the blood. And I was just wondering if, Juan, you could kind of speak to that.
Do you have to be in the family, Juan, to carry this jazz?
No, I don't think so. Well, of course, there are things that are coming in the blood. But if you are really interested to learn something, you can do it. And it's not that easy in the case of Latin American or Cuban music, but you can do it. Of course not. The blood is important because, you know, there are genetic, elements in your passion for example, for music and mathematics. If your father was a good mathematician, it's possible that you become a great mathematician as well, or a great musician if your father was a musician. But all depends on your spirit and your capacity to fight for what you want.
Hey, Jose, jazz and gene pool. What do you think?
Juan de Marcos mentioned that he moved to Mexico because of his daughter's education. His daughters are very prominent, not only in the recordings, but in the live performances. So one of the great treats of seeing them live, and I had the opportunity to do so recently at the Berklee Performance Center, was seeing his daughter, Laura Lidia Gonzalez, play an excellent clarinet and baritone sax. On tour, yes. Mm-hmm. A part of the orchestra, a young woman. Juan de Marcos, I have no idea how old she is, but she was phenomenal, as well as your other daughter, Griseria, on the keyboards.
Griserita.
But Laura Lidia Gonzalez, exceptional musician.
She's a great clarinet player, and you have to listen to her playing Mozart or Weber. She's a great symphonic performer as well.
That's great. It goes on. Here's El Cantante del Pueblo. This is absolutely live, 2011. We get one more call. John in Elizabethtown, Kentucky. John, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Tom, I just want to address the question you posed. What is it about Cuban music that attracts us? It's the same thing that attracts us about all Caribbean and Southern music below that. It's that rhythm. I love Cuban music when I hear it, but I'm a big aficionado of reggae. It's those bass-driven percussion and organ, everything used as a rhythm. I think I agree with your guest. It's a, I think it's an elemental. I think it's a DNA thing that pulls at it. That's why I think it's so great.
That's as deep. That's as deep. John, we got it. That's as deep as it goes. It is elemental. It's a DNA thing. Juan, how about it? It may be, but if it is, it's a DNA attraction that seems to be shared globally.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, if I can quickly chime in to that. When they performed recently, and Juan mentioned this in the beginning of your interview with him, the first hour, half hour, I told my wife, you know, they're being very quiet as they do this show. This is nothing like what I expect them to do.
Yeah.
And a woman coming into the concert said, a Cuban woman said, this music's not for us to sit, it's for us to dance. The last 45 minutes of the concert, 1,200 people were on their feet dancing regardless where they came from, if they were aficionados or not. Everyone was on their feet. The aisles were packed of everybody dancing to this rhythm because you could not help but dance to the rhythm. So I agree with the caller. It's probably just the excitement and the moving music and rhythms that makes us so enamored of this kind of music.
Juan de Marcos Gonzalez on tour with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars. Just a few more days in the United States at the Blue Note in New York City right now. Juan, we really thank you for bringing all this back. It has been a great gift for many years now for all of us to be able to enjoy this again and to see it continue to evolve. Our gratitude to you. Our good luck on the rest of your tour, and thank you so much for everything you've done in bringing back this fantastic Cuban music.
Well, thanks to you, Jose, for giving me a chance to be in touch with your audience. And we are happy. We are having fun. And you know, New York City is great, and then from New York we are going to State College, Louisville, Kentucky, Pittsburgh, Wilmington, and Durham, and the Howard Theater in Washington, D.C. So there are still a few concerts coming up, and we're happy. I'm a little bit tired, you know, I'm getting older.
Yeah, I bet you are. But keep dancing, keep playing. Juan de Marcos Gonzalez with the Afro-Cuban All-Stars, thank you so much for being with us today. And Jose Maso of Con Salsa, you are the best. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much. It's my honor and pleasure. Thank you, Tom.
Wonderful to have you right here. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Enjoy. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.